This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball only a couple days away. Tigers will be playing the Dodgers on Thursday. Big time spot, 7 o'clock. Everybody watching as baseball comes back.
But National TV.
But we want to know about your interest level, your excitement level. Has it been zapped at all from the offseason and the injuries? Because when we last talked about this team regularly, they were in the playoffs. They were a win away from the ALCS. And we took so many phone calls and ticket texts from people who said, I've fallen in love with baseball again. They were kind of background noise. I didn't have the TV plan for part of the summer, but they brought me back and I love baseball again. Do you still feel that way as we kick off the season in 2 days? I don't.
I don't because it the injuries have made it somewhat feel like you're going into a fight with one arm tied behind your back. Because you know, if I could just simply use this arm, I'd be so much better. I would be able to hit, throw, run, defend, all of those different things. And it just feels like even though they didn't make the additions overall that we wanted them to in the offseason, that with Parker Meadows and Vierling and Wensiel Perez, especially the way he played last year, the way he's hitting now, okay, we can overcome some of those deficiencies because we have A.J. Hinch. We've got great pitching. We can mix and match lineups, all of those different things. Now A.J. Hinch is the one going into this with his arm tied behind his back.
Which is kind of how it felt last year, which is nauseating to think about going through that roller coaster ride again. And John, we don't know who the third baseman is. We don't know who the shortstop is. We don't know who the center fielder is. We don't know if they're going to hit. We do know they're going to pitch, and we do know they're going to be in a fight for the division. If you look at preseason win totals, just one thing that you could use, all of these teams, Twins, Tigers, Royals, Guardians, are expected to win between 82 and 85 games. You're going to be in the fight. You're going to be there. But did they do enough? Like, even before the injuries, did they do enough, I think, is a really fair question. The injuries could become the convenient excuse, but did they do enough off of last year's playoff berth to juice this fan base, to give not just excitement on opening day, but legs to a potential run in the summer? They'll pitch well enough. I don't know if they have enough, though, to get it done.
Right. And the question, did they do enough to build on what they accomplished last year?
No.
We all saw the stadium. And I think ownership saw it, front office saw it. What when you win and you're in a playoff race, this fan base will show up. They'll buy tickets. They're going to support their team. And if they can't get tickets at home, like Tom did, you go down to Cleveland. You go to the next local destination because you might be able to get tickets there. And the fans are starved. Absolutely starved. Now we're getting it a little bit with the Pistons.
Yeah,
we're obviously getting it with the Lions. The Tigers, you felt, were right there because they did make the postseason. And some of it, yes, it's what the Tigers did, and that's what we got to focus on.
Yeah,
you can't sit there and say, "Well, is Minnesota going to fall apart again?" You can't count on another team to do anything,
but you also good or bad. But you also can't bank on like a 30-10 final 40 games,
right? And so are they going to dig themselves a hole like they have in the recent past? Is the end of March and the beginning of April into May going to be what we've seen the Wings do in March? Is that the calling card of the Detroit Tigers? And then all of a sudden, hey, the bats warm up a little bit. The pitching is good. Guys get healthy. And then you're fighting your tails off to just get back to 500, then to get in the race.
Yeah, it feels like a team that really believed they've got enough. They pursued Bregman, but they had no backup plan. And they let that thing drag out. And they, maybe they were
well, given the backup plan was Chase thought, Young. And that didn't, you know, and it's not a great backup plan because you're talking about a quote-unquote prospect and young player.
Well, and they may say the backup plan was Vierling and Vierling got hurt, but Vierling hadn't played much third base. It just, it felt like they were all in. It was Bregman or bust, and it busted, and now we're left putting the pieces back together in real time as the season gets going. And that would be bad enough, like, oh, I got to stomach Zach McKinstry playing 70% of the time because he's going to hit against righties. Then you throw in the center field and the outfield and the injuries. And Parker Meadows was so important. If Tom was here, he'd be, you know, jibber-jabbing about this is the player that can fix the season. He's going to miss 2 months.
And here's, I think, the issue is first impressions. The first impression that the Tigers are going to make on the fan base. Coming off of the last impression that we had, postseason play. A game away from going to the ALDS. Like, it was all right there. And now, because of injury, because you didn't have a backup plan at third base, I think those first seven games, even though they're on the road, the first impression of what this team will be is going to affect a lot of the fan base.
Ticket texters, they're not mincing words. The Tigers are embarrassing. Bentley quality pitching on an Oldsmobile team.
Well, I'm not ready to say they're embarrassing yet, but I think that's the question we're asking. Has it zapped your excitement going into the season?
Texter says, the injuries only magnified our management's unwillingness to improve the roster. It's extremely frustrating. I'm less excited for the Tigers because of it, Nick in Ann Arbor. Well, Paul's got more ticket texters here. Between the injuries and the lack of moves, all excitement and expectations have been killed, unnamed ticket texter. Die hard Tiger fan here. No left side of the infield. Back of rotation's a question mark. Bullpen's a C. Defense is a C. No big bat. 78 wins, Mike in Clarkston. I think they're going to fight for about 80 wins, give or take. But
fighting to stay at 500.
Right. Which is kind of a miserable way to be.
It's a frustrating way to be, that's for sure.
Yeah. Guys, this team hasn't won a World Series in over 40 years. They'll probably never win one in my lifetime, and I'm 38. I'm not excited at all for the Tigers.
Well, hopefully you've got a long life ahead.
I say modern medicine.
Yeah.
Get you another 40.
We can extend that. That's what I'm counting on.
Tigers needed two decent hitters. They got maybe one in Torres. They need to avoid a bad start. They'll play better in the second half. Still miss the playoffs, Tom in Rochester.
And so much of it depends on the what ifs.
A lot of questions. How does Keith move to first? Who's playing the left side of the infield? All of it.
Right.
Center field.
And is
Job as a rookie with an innings limit? Does it actually click for 160 games?
Well, and I like the Gleyber Torres signing because it does add a proficient bat.
Mm-hmm.
But then it does force Keith to first. And if Spencer Torkelson, due to injury and his performance in training camp, is going to be on this team, then we've got to find out if he can be good. I don't particularly like him in the outfield.
No.
The only place to be is DH or first base. But if you play him at first, where does that put Cole Keith?
Exactly. Torres' bat might help, but if he's going to be rigid and only play second and not play particularly well defensively at second, it's something, but it's not much. It's certainly not enough, I think, is the issue here. So 248-539-9797. It's a damn shame because I remember
the excitement.
If we could have bottled up the excitement doing shows last September and in that playoff push into October, and it was, people were falling in love with baseball again. I was at the ballpark for those playoff games. There was a buzz that I hadn't remembered really since like 06 when I was like a younger kid, and everybody kind of
for so many years. And I know, I mean, I was doing it with Stoney where last year was such a gift. It was so much fun to talk about a team that was playing good, that got into a playoff race, that made the postseason. And prior to that, it was a forgotten about team, one that we struggled to find ways or things to even talk about the Detroit Tigers in July.
That's why we had a safe word, because it felt like we were belaboring the same tired points about how they weren't playing well and how they were stuck and they couldn't hit and they weren't developing guys. And there are some young guys that certainly are developing, and Scott Harris has rebuilt the farm system and all that, but most people just care about results. Are you going to be better this year than you were last year? And I don't know how anybody can excitedly say, yes, they're going to be better. the pitching staff might be more stable, right? They might not have to go through the full chaos. But this lineup leaves a lot to be desired.
It's talking about the start of the season and the team, the playoff teams. Now, on those other teams' schedule, they have a playoff team in the Detroit Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. I know the midday show does the whole embargo thing. Do we need to right now, or before this season kicks off on Thursday night,
okay,
do we need to put an embargo on walleye?
It's not where I thought you were going. Okay.
Well, what's the length of games? What's the length of the season, the start of the season, where we say, okay, we've got to give them 25 games. We've got to give them 40 games.
Sparky had the 40-game mark. Look, I think because of what they did last year, the fans aren't going to let us, and they aren't going to want to bury a baseball team prematurely. Again, last year was miraculous. Let's not get to the point where we expect that. But I do think last year's miracle run is going to buy them a little more patience from the average fan. No, I thought you were going to ask to embargo any Bregman talk.
Well, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, because he didn't pick us.
Well, he didn't pick us, and it's, you know, the conversation at that point goes to, well, is ownership willing to spend the money? And I think we got to put a pin in that one because they were willing to spend the money. The guy that they wanted to spend it on just didn't pick us.
Didn't pick us. 248-539-9797. It's a question for you guys. As you're gearing up for baseball season, a couple days away, Tigers and Dodgers, the emotions you felt at the end of last year, where are you at now? Have the injuries, has the offseason zapped any of your joy or excitement? It's 97.1. John, we got Ballpark Foods that debut this week.
I'm starting to get excited.
Charge.
Uh-huh. It's so I saw this last night on Instagram. The New York Mets in their stadium,
mm-hmm.
they've got a deal at the concession stand that is 12 hot dogs stuffed inside the hard baseball cap, mm-hmm. the batter's baseball cap, 12 hot dogs for $12.99.
Steal.
It's an unbelievable deal. If we think about how much a hot dog costs, then you got to get a drink on top of that, and mm-hmm. you got to get something else. It looks delicious. I know, Heather, it's a little cringy for you.
She wants no part of that.
But yeah, 12 hot dogs, $12.99. Plus, you get a hat to wear when you're done eating it all.
Could you eat all 12?
Okay, yes. Yeah, throughout the course of a baseball game, 12 would be not the issue.
For most people, you split it with your buddies.
You could.
Or your family or whatever.
Yes, but it's... So that's it. And then I start thinking, okay, what other stadium foods might be new this year? And I found a list, and I want to know if you guys, Heather, I'm sure you're out on most of these.
We'll see.
But the Houston Astros have the Daddy Mac Dog. And the Daddy Mac Dog is a foot-long beef frank topped with chopped brisket,
yes,
macaroni and cheese,
mm-hmm.
barbecue sauce.
Take them to church.
And crispy dill pickles.
Pickles or whatever. But that is, yes, please.
Yes. So... The only modification I would make on this is, and I would say, yes, chopped brisket on top of a hot dog, all for it. Macaroni and cheese, all for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Can I get the barbecue sauce on the side? No
pickles.
Worried
they're going to, oh, okay.
No, I don't, I'm not a huge sauce fan on my pork.
Really?
Yes.
So like on like ribs, you wouldn't have
ribs,
sauce?
No, dry rub.
Dry rub, okay.
Dry rub, and then I like to dip into, because I don't like, I like to make my own sauce, and so I don't like other people's sauce.
So like a pulled pork, yeah. you wouldn't have...
No. That's I don't put it on top. I dip into okay. my sauce. Right. That's
Learning
why I don't usually
you.
Order those things. Now, Heather, the next one.
Okay.
Mariners ice cream nachos.
Oh, that's something I could get behind. I like that. I like the sound of that.
The dessert option includes soft serve ice cream
mm-hmm.
with thick, crunchy waffle chips.
Yes.
Sprinkles and caramel sauce.
Yes. Sounds good.
Any modifications?
Every ballpark should do that.
Yes.
That's just smart.
Yes. Yep.
If they had this one here in Detroit, it would have to be Saunders Hot Fudge.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it makes all the sense in the world.
But I will say, challenge to go with that
yes.
in the summertime, because you got to be eating quick
you
at the
do.
Ballpark. You got to have a strategy to attack something like that.
Yes, because of melting.
Yes.
I get that. And so I'm 3 for 3 on all of these.
Okay.
Me too. And let's go to Baltimore. The Birdland Value Meal. This one is, it's...
Is it chicken?
It's 11 items that are all under $5.
Oh, okay.
And it consists of a hot dog, pretzel bites with cheese, nachos, popcorn, peanuts, and a packaged dessert under $5 each. So it doesn't sound like you can get just all of them for $5.
No.
They've got a $5 value meal.
Oh, okay. But none of those things are that unique.
No,
they're just a good deal for a ballpark.
Right. Now, let me ask you this one.
Okay.
Again, Heather, I think you're out. Pirates. This is obviously in Pittsburgh. Pirates Polish cannonballs. Okay. This one I thought sounded wonderful. It's deep fried. And it's a deep fried ball of egg noodles, kielbasa, yes, cabbage, bacon, and cheddar cheese served with a herb crema dip.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes,
thank
yes,
you. Yes.
That is a yes.
Yes. Yes.
You threw me off with the crema dip, but yeah, yes, it all sounds good.
So okay, it's on the side. You can dip or not. It's up to you.
You taste it, and if you like it, you dunk it, and whatever.
All right, the Kansas City Royals Z-Man sandwich. All right, and the pictures of these look wonderful, and it never comes just like the picture, but it's close enough. The Z-Man sandwich from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, sold at the Royals game, slow smoked beef brisket, smoked provolone, topped with two crispy onion rings, served on a bun.
Any complaints?
None.
I think where's that at? That's in Kansas City?
That's in Kansas City. So it's the brisket, the smoked cheese, and the onion rings. I love a little crunch.
Yes, I was just going to say, the onion ring is a great addition to most of this because you get the crunch. And onion is, I know our boss hates onion. Onion's a great complimentary flavor.
JP hates onion?
You never knew. Don't bring onions anywhere near that guy's office. If you get food from somewhere and there's onions for someone else, he can tell. It's a whole thing.
Sauteed potatoes and onions with a little walleye on the side. Oh, okay. And so this one, I think this one is amazing. And the part about the brisket being on some of these as well is done right. Get that little fatty strip. It gives you all the juice you need. You don't need the sauce to go along with it. You can add sauce if you want. Here's one, Heather, for you.
Okay.
Now, this one is somewhat visual, but it's the San Francisco Giants.
Okay.
Souvenir popcorn bat. And we've all seen those red bats that kids play. They've got the big on the, part of the side. This
the
one
barrel
is filled with popcorn. So the end of the barrel pops off.
Yeah.
And now you've got a baseball bat filled with popcorn.
I like that.
So then you have something to, a souvenir to go home with as well.
Can you do popcorn? Can you do caramel corn? Can you do, because if they really did this well.
They should do this in Chicago with, what's that Chicago popcorn place?
Garrett's?
Yeah, Garrett's Popcorn, yes. Yeah. With the cheesy popcorn, you get the orange fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's fun. All right, here's one. Heather, you're back in the game.
I think I know what this is going to be.
Philly's S'mores quesadillas.
Yes, this might be my favorite.
Inside a crispy flour tortilla, there's Nutella, mini marshmallows, and graham cracker crumbs.
Yes.
The dessert will come with chocolate dipping sauce.
Mm-hmm. This, to me, is easy to eat. It's not as messy as the ice cream.
Yeah.
And it sounds amazing.
It's finger food.
It is.
Don't have to worry about it melting.
I like it.
All right. And I'm curious on this one, if you're going to be in the game on this one. Yankees lobster roll.
Seafood in a hot
environment. I'd probably pass on that.
Okay, so let's put this one in a club seating or suite setting where you're air conditioned. You don't have to worry about it getting warm. It's warm mayonnaise, all that stuff, whatever. This consists of fresh Maine lobster salad, lemon aioli, served on toasted top cut bun with Lay's potato chips.
Okay, I like the chip combo in there. Mm-hmm. But you're out on anything lemon. You won't.
Yeah, not
a lemon's
lemon
so common with seafood, like a seafood boil, lobster.
That's why I cook
shrimp.
At home.
Okay.
It just sounds too fancy for a ballpark.
It does.
I'm out.
Too fancy. Well, if you're sitting in a suite.
What's Yankee Stadium for the rich and famous?
No.
Too fancy for Heather Park.
No, for a ballpark, not for me.
Okay. Just make sure we're clarified on that. Yes.
And here's the other thing. I like lobster. I don't love lobster. And would you pay for lobster? Like, that's got to be like you're somewhere fancy.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it at a ballpark.
Mm-hmm. I would eat this at a ballpark.
I would not.
Minus the lemon aioli. Okay, here. This is the number 10. We got a number 11 coming up, too, because I added the hot dogs. This one is Kansas City Royals Blue Velvet Whoopie Pies.
Okay.
All right, so we all know what a whoopie pie is. And this is inspired. It's a blue velvet buns with, what does it say? It's got to be a cream cheese filling.
Okay.
Blue velvet cakes and vanilla fluff stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
Sure. That's my alley.
Giant Little Debbie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 What's blue velvet?
Blue velvet,
like red velvet, but it's
yeah,
just
red velvet. Yeah,
it's just blue.
Exactly,
it's, blue,
yeah. It's a lot of blue food color.
So yeah. That's all that is.
Yeah, this is one of those where if I take Teddy and I've got red velvet or I've got blue velvet, I tell him to stick out his tongue because it looks blue.
I mean, it looks like something Teddy would like to eat because like so the Cookie Monster. It's.
Here, let me show you the picture.
Yes, it's for a child.
It's for a child. It's for adult
child.
Children as well.
It is, but I could. Emily would want it.
You?
Brooks would want that. It's very because it's blue. It's not natural.
How many of these? I should have asked this.
It looks
at
good
the beginning.
Though.
Would Colin eat this?
He'd pass on that. That's not up his alley.
Oh,
he
really?
Likes the chocolate. He's not into like the sweet per se. Like he likes chocolate for dessert.
It looks like it's
everything else.
With
I think he would eat
as well.
So your favorite's the s'more quesadilla. Do we have any other ones?
Yes, we got one more.
Okay, maybe this will be the favorite. What is it?
This is probably Heather's out as well.
Not
I think
for
it has
me.
Chicken. Philly's Kyle's cutlets.
All right.
It's a chicken cutlet sandwich with creamy burrata.
Yeah.
Crispy fried pepperoni.
Yes.
And arugula.
I do not like arugula.
Really?
But, yeah. It's something about it. Just
It's got a little peppery taste to
it. Yeah, it's not for me.
Of the lettuce family, I could dust it with a little arugula.
Yeah, okay.
It's still a waste of space, but...
I like that one.
It's drizzled in a sweet, spicy, hot honey sauce.
There you
I'm
go.
All in on the hot honey trend on pizza, on chicken, especially fried chicken. I'd give this a shot.
Look, if you took the arugula out, it's probably number two for me. The only thing better that you read was that mac and cheese brisket hot dog with the barbecue sauce and the fixings. Mm-hmm.
This is one I'd probably have to deconstruct and eat individually because the crispy fried pepperoni, it's thick cut pepperoni. That looks to me like finger food. And then I would have to take out the fried chicken or the chicken cutlet to make sure that I maximized... The sweet hot honey. This one would have to be deconstructed.
And I like, so some places will give you too much hot honey. This one is
too much hot honey.
Yeah, you don't want to overpower the flavor of the dish. I like the accent flavor of the hot honey. I like it, John. I don't want it to be the dominant
taste profile.
It's not soaked
in it, yes, but you could actually have, can I get a little bit of that extra on the sides in case you don't use enough? Most of these places don't use enough of the sauce when it comes to hot honey.
Right.
So if you're hungry right now, you're welcome.
This is what was on your Instagram last night.
Yes.
And with baseball back this week, we thought, hey, let's have a little fun with food. A John Jansen special. Those are ballpark items coming this week. It's 97.1. All right, we'll open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you. Is this a playoff-bound baseball team again? Have they lost all momentum? Give us a win total. And if you got a player that this season hinges on, open lines 248-539-9797. John, you want to tee us up?
I will. And I think this is a team that's going to hover right around 500. I think we're going to be playing the same song and dance as we did last year. Maybe they don't get as far under 500 as they did last year, but it's always going to be two or three games under 500. And then they're at 500 and we're celebrating. And then they're a game or two over. And then they've got a 7-game series, you know, road trip in the West Coast. And they come back and they're down to under 500. So I think they end up with 80 wins. Just under 500.
Losing record.
Yeah.
And I'm the negative one on the show.
Yes, you are. I'm maybe just more realistic at this point.
Okay. So 80 wins. That means they're not winning the division, clearly. They're not making the playoffs either. And the biggest reason they don't is?
They just don't have enough bats. Not enough hitting.
Is that, it's injuries and offseason?
Well, yeah. It's the fact that we believe, even if there's no hitting and there's poor defense, I still think you look at this pitching staff and it's a top five staff, which they will waste away. And is there a kicked ball at second base? Is there a misplay in center field? And how many games does that cost them? And what were 86 last year? I think it costs him 4 or 5 games.
Parker Meadows isn't going to be back until late May at the earliest. What if it's later? You know what I mean? And here's the other thing, guys. While we talk about injuries, what happens when they actually start playing baseball games? Is it possible that players get hurt playing actual baseball games in the first 60 days of the season? I'm going to venture out and say yes. Riley Green has missed, on average, 50 games a year for the first 3 years of his career. Last year, he was remarkably healthy, but still missed 30-plus baseball games.
Well, remarkably healthy, and where did he play?
In the corner. And they are hesitant to put him in center. They want him to play as many games as he can all season. But the trade-off is Kreidler, who has no track record at the plate at the major league level, is going to play more. And McKinstry is going to play more. And Javi Baez, who can't hit, is going to play more. That's before anybody gets hurt, right? So I'm forced to look at this and say they're not a playoff team. If you want the rosiest outlook, again, the season begins today. Hope springs eternal. Everybody's excited. Romantic baseball. The most optimistic would be the pitching keeps them from collapsing. They do get healthy. AJ works his wizardry, keeps them in the hunt at about 500, and they buy at the trade deadline.
You're saying AJ has to do a good job.
AJ has to do a good job. And John, I think he will do a good job, but I have him falling just short. I have him at 82 wins, much more optimistic than
yes,
you are. All of 2 wins better, 82 and 80, they fall short, they miss the playoffs.
But I think we're both kind of feel the same thing.
Yeah.
And how I described it, they're going to be a team that is just hovering right around 500. And honestly, if they can hover around 500 through the first 40 games of the season, I may actually change my win total for the end of the year. Because if you then get Parker Meadows back, and if you get Vierling back, and yes, you're going to lose other guys. Other guys are going to need rest days, and you know it's 162. And we always talk to AJ, right? And we ask him about the trends, and we ask him about this guy and how he's hitting hot, or it's always very cautious. It's one of 162.
Yeah.
It's just that they are starting off behind the eight ball. They have no I don't want to say they have no advantages. They have a distinct advantage with the pitching staff. But the issue is going to be, it's not always going to be swing and miss. You're going to have to play a little bit of defense.
The ball's going to get put in play.
How many extra base runners are there because of issues in the field? What happens with those base runners? And then on the flip side, are the Tigers going to be opportunistic enough that when a mistake does happen, you get a guy on first. How do you move them to second to third and then ultimately get across the plate? You're going to have to be very opportunistic when guys are on base, not just in scoring position, but on base, whether it's Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, Riley Green, Colt Keith. You've got to have hits.
So last year they went first to third a lot. Arguably the best team in baseball. That was part of their formula late in the season, was going first to third. But it was guys like Vierling and Meadows going first to third. If you're at first and you got to drive him in, you're going to need power, which is what puts the shift of the pressure on someone like Torkelson. I mean, Torkelson really, I mean, it's unfortunate we're in this spot because at the end of last season, nobody thought he had much left. And now a lot hinges on whether or not this guy shows up and is the proven right-handed power bat in the top of the order that they drafted him to be. And I just don't think he's that player. I'm hopeful, but I don't think it's a given. I think there's too many questions with this team. Torque is a question, even with a hot spring and a new stance, a new approach. Torque is a question mark. Colt Keith is a question mark. He's playing a new position. He had an OPS sub 700 last year. Now, we project he's going to have a better year two. It's not a given. These are questions. Gleyber Torres, I think he'll hit. He was the worst defensive second baseman in baseball. Who's the everyday shortstop? Who's playing third base primarily when they have right-handed pitching on the mound? Who's playing center field? Is Kerry Carpenter built to play the outfield for the bulk of the season? Right. I mean, there are too many questions on this baseball team for us to confidently say, yep, it's going to be another miracle. I'm going to bank on another miracle. They're going to find their way in the playoffs.
What you want to hope for, again, I emphasize hope, is that you don't need another miracle. You need to finish strong, but you don't need another miracle. And to not need another miracle, you can't bury yourself early in the season. And I know the old saying is, well, you're not going to win a division in March or April, but you could certainly bury yourself at that position.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Starting today, I don't think they will be over 500 all season. Tigers win 78 games. Bad defense, not enough bats. Javi in the outfield simply because ownership won't cut his atrocious contract. Last year was amazing, but not reality. And you can watch mediocre baseball from those sparkling new $600 home plate club seats. Positive approach. Pitching will help carry this team until they get healthier. They will win the division title with 89 wins. Bill in Newport.
Okay.
Yes, hope springs eternal. Tigers win 87 games, one more than last year. They'll make the playoffs, win the American League crown, and yes, I have money riding on it. Go Tigers. Jason in Royal Oak.
Well, at that pace, in another 5 years, they could be a 90-win team.
I'm going to hammer the under 83.5. It's the biggest unit play I've ever placed from an unnamed texter. After the season, all I've heard all week on the station is the Tigers will fall back and suck this year. The only thing that sucks is what you guys have become, Bill in Newport. Oh, boy, he's coming at us. Don't be mad at us because they didn't do much.
So I think some of it is how much do you believe in what happened last year? And if you just take the last 2 months of the season, not that they'd have to come back from a deficit, but that they can play the way they did at the end of that season and be able to do it without pitching chaos. Can they just have a reliable rotation and then the chaos flips to, you know, the lineup? Who's in center? Who's at third? Who's batting second? Who's batting fourth?
Look, you can manufacture it some, but AJ's got like five guys on the team who can't hit and like five guys on the team who can't field. So I'm not really sure. I mean, he'll do the best he can.
Yeah. Are you including Torque in that?
Do you think he can hit?
Well, that you put him as the most important. You think
yes,
he can?
I think it's a huge question mark. Well, I also don't have him making the playoffs, so it would tell you he may give us some spurts, but I think he's got his issues.
It's just hard to fathom this team right now, the lineup the way it is, and the significant time that Vierling and Meadows will both miss, that you're going to need 20-plus homers from Torque. I mean, you have decided as a team to keep Torque in this lineup and on the opening day roster, and you sent down Justin Henry Molloy, who led off against lefties in the playoffs last year. You're going, there has to be something there that they think is real with Torque, because that's a choice you made because of the outfield. They don't want Molloy to play outfield. Yeah. So they went with Kreidler and Torque instead of Molloy and Kreidler for defensive purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's telling, because you were willing to lead this guy off last year, Molloy, in the playoffs because of, I think, the all-around game he maybe provided at the plate. They're going with Torque's power. They believe, I think, that it's going to happen because it'll be a short leash. If he starts off like last year, Molloy will be up here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this is going to be a thing where he's going to be buried in AAA. They're going to need bats.
Last year's start, they survived Torque. Remember, they actually started well last year. They survived Torque, and how we're finally like, even AJ called him out kind of. It's like, look, eventually it's a seat next to me.
I understand the explanation of why they took Kreidler. The backbone of their team is outfield defense to help the pitching, and that's what wins games here. Isn't Kreidler and Javi kind of redundant? They're both super utility guys who can't hit. Just take one. Why both?
And that's why if Torque doesn't hit or Keith doesn't improve, if Keith is inconsistent like last year, they're going to be so anemic offensively at times. Like, I think they're a candidate to be the first team to be no hit. I know. I hate to. That's negative sounding.
Well, when you say something like that, no. But when you say something like that, you have to take into account the White Sox are going to be playing baseball, and so I don't know that they're the first team. I think they're a candidate because there are going to be days, and hopefully it's not back to back days. Hopefully it's not a week's time or weeks time where they just struggle to make contact.
I wanted to hit just one thing. I think the money question today is, okay, if you don't think, I'm going with 86 wins. I think they're going to match last year. I think they're going to methodically kind of go up and down through the season again, and I think Meadows or Vierling or maybe both will be back. That'll be the difference. These are guys that were 3-2 WAR players last year when they played. I know people want to laugh at the Vierlings and Meadows defensively, what he provides to this team. If they can survive the first 60, get these guys back, I think that they can potentially make the playoffs again. But I don't think last year was a fluke. I don't. I think this team was rising with young talent and a good, decent pitching staff. The problem is I right now I'm leaning towards it's might fall off the rails, even though I'm still sticking with the 86 for now. I think they can be that good. So I'm going to choose to be the positive side of it right now. But I can see where this thing gets very, very ugly. You're talking about Vierlein and Meadows. That's 225 starts minimally in the outfield for you. That you long-term cannot overcome that, especially when they're the first two guys that are going to go first to third when they're on the base pass.
Ticket texter, I think this is a typo. Says, leave it to Costa to be so negative. No, I think you meant to say John. He's the one who has him winning the fewest amount of games on the show.
Yes, one below 500.
Ticket texter says, it's the start of baseball season, the start of spring, and we have to listen to negativity. Costa, are you ever happy? Another one says, shut up with the negativity. Costa, you're being an ass. Do you want us to lie to you? Like, serious question. Do you want us to lie to you? John, you don't think they're making the playoffs. I don't think they're making the playoffs. Do you want us to lie to you? Is that what you tuned into for today? You wanted to get on the radio and you wanted to say they're actually winning 90 games because the old English D, because baseball, because the sun is out. What do you want us to lie to you? They don't have a center fielder, a shortstop, or a third baseman. Do you want us to lie to you? That's what I'm getting from these ticket texts. They want us to lie to them.
So we're making our preseason predictions, and they're both right there at 500. Until we see 15, 20 games, because they're starting off against the defending world champs. They're going up to Seattle. Then they'll be here against the Sox. You have both extremes where they're playing against really good baseball teams, and they're playing against one that I think we all agree is going to be awful. The more we get a chance to see them and learn about this team, because what is possible? It is possible that Spencer Torkelson will be more of what we saw in 23, where he hit 30 home runs. It is possible that Cary Carpenter, instead of only playing in 87 games, plays in 145. How much of a difference does that make? If you can get power from those guys, and then Colt Keith doesn't have the downswings that you see in rookies that he had. Not that he's going to be perfect or he's going to be the baseball player he will be in 2, 3, 4 years, but he's better than he was last year. It is possible that this team could be right there, even though they have these catastrophic injuries at one position, that they could be a team that when they get to 40 games is 19 and 21.
I think that'd be a huge win to be right around 520 games in.
All of a sudden, you get Parker Meadows back.
Sure.
Vierlein back. Could they? I don't think they're a team that is 90 wins.
No.
But they could certainly be as good as they were last year. But here's the thing. Here's why I say they don't make the playoffs. Just because they hit 86 games or 86 wins doesn't mean they're a playoff team.
They got in by the final game, really. I mean, right? But by the thinnest margin possible, right? They clinched on the Friday. There were a couple days left in the season, but it really came down to that final weekend.
But what we can hope for is that we are in a playoff run at the end of the season, that they are still in the conversation of they're a game back, they're two games back, and then they put together, oh, well, they're one above the cut line. They're in the wild card. Like, that's where where they are as an organization, as a skill, as a talent, as injuries, as production, that's where they're going to be.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like, I feel like we've highlighted the pitching. That's pretty positive. I said, get me to the deadline and I can buy. That'd be positive, right? Survive the injuries early. Those are positives. Mm-hmm. But there's so many questions with this baseball team. The fact that the answer for all of them is going to be yes.
So unlikely.
It's unlikely.
But out of, you know, five questions, can you get three yeses and two noes? What does that do for you? Again, that's why I say this team's going to have to be opportunistic. One of the things that they struggled with last year was runners in scoring position. They need to improve upon that. And then you think about this pitching staff where it's not just Skubal. And last year it was Skubal and Flaherty. Now you have Skubal, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, Jobe. And then when Cobb comes back, what does it mean moving forward? This is a pitching staff that can be dominant.
No question about it. 248-539-9797. You let us know your thoughts because we're too negative. Sell us the positive. Tell us what we're missing because I don't see this as a playoff baseball team. It's 97-1.
Welcome back to Carson Anderson. Stoney's in for Doug all week. Cater with you as well. Taking your calls and text at 248-539-9797. We're asking people if they've ever mistakenly included somebody in a group chat that they shouldn't have.
Right.
Whether it was a group text or something online with social media, whatever the case was, that you probably sent it to the wrong person.
Not government secrets.
Right, not that. No. Wouldn't expect anybody in our listening audience to be involved with government secrets.
But,
Yeah, that type of thing. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number, same number to text. Patrick is in Sterling Heights, and he's next up here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
So some time ago, one of my good buddies was coaching my daughter's soccer team, and he had sent out a text saying that he's canceling practice because it was raining outside. So I responded to him, and apparently everybody else, all the other parents, and I called him a wussy, but not with the W.
Gotcha, okay? Sure, right. Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, let's just say some of the moms were offended, but the dads loved it, I guess.
Were there any repercussions afterwards, or you just got some dirty looks?
Well, I don't think they really knew who I was, like, because they not too many people had my number on the team. But I was supposed to help them coach, if he needed it. So I was basically just a spectator from that day on.
Fair enough.
Good for you.
Yeah. Hey, you said it. You own it, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I did it. Sorry I offended you. Sorry, fellas, and the fellas are all laughing. Orza is in Detroit. Welcome to the 97 on the Ticket, Orza.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. So a couple of months ago, my wife was venting about our daughter. We were at home. Our daughter is at her home. And she was saying some very unflattering stuff because she's mad. And somehow, some way, her phone recorded the conversation through the text. Oh. What made it worse, my wife sent the text to her the next day unknowingly. So it was pretty rough up in the house for a few days after that.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty at all. Because you know how parents do. We speak our truth to ourselves.
Yes.
But she heard the truth. She heard the real conversation. Right.
She heard the unfiltered version. Yes.
Yeah, so it was ugly. So needless to say, they didn't talk for a couple of weeks.
I understand. Well, hopefully everything's all back to normal.
Yeah, we good. We normal. Everything is squashed at this point, but it was ugly.
All right.
Was very ugly.
Thanks for the call, Orz. I appreciate it. 248-539-9797. Thomas is in Detroit. Oh. Thomas back on hold there, as he's got us on hold. Jeff is next up here on 97.1 The Ticket. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, boys, how's it going today?
Good, how are you?
Hey, listen, this happened at work, so this is even worse. I was having a heated discussion with my supervisor. I won't tell you my company, obviously. I'm retired now. But it was kind of heated back and forth stuff about things with the job. And I sent a reply back to him, but the reply went to everybody throughout the company.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't realize it right away until I started getting a couple of messages from people I didn't even know saying, you know, you realize this went out to everybody that could get this. And then I'm thinking, oh, my God, because I'm thinking everything I wrote in that damn message. And for the next couple, 2-3 days, I'm just sweating bullets, waiting to get, backlash from the whole damn thing. But thank God, for whatever reason, it went through. They didn't. Nobody tapped me on the shoulder about it. But I'm like, for 3 or 4 days, man, I'm just sweating it out. Like I'm gonna get it from some. I'm gonna hear about this. But because it wasn't really, it was a heated discussion that the two of us were having, and so my reply to him was not, wasn't top notch at that moment. And I was sweating it up.
Did you get any weird looks, Jeff, from other employees who were on that chain?
No. I'm on the road.
Oh, okay.
The road. So I didn't really see many people, but, you know, I was just waiting to maybe get even a phone call or something from my supervisor. Never did. I'm like, I mean, but I was scared as hell.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, those are not something you want to slip out there, and now everybody's got it. And that could be troublesome, for sure. I just saw this come across Twitter, Stoney.
Okay.
Jeff Passan, who covers baseball for ESPN.
Are we going to like this?
Maybe. It's just something to consider here. It says the Los Angeles Angels are releasing outfielder Mickey Moniak.
Yeah, he was a 1-1 by the Phillies, I believe, at one point, right?
So they owe him $333,000, one-sixth of the $2 million salary that he won in an arbitration hearing over the winter. Similar situation at J.D. Davis last spring. Arbitration settlements are guaranteed, not cases. Fair enough. And then one of the accounts we follow, Tigers Torkmoil, says this immediately would make pretty good sense for the Tigers. Mickey Moniak is a center fielder by trade,
mm-hmm.
26 years old, left-handed, bats left, but throws right. In his career, he is a career 230 batting average, a 673 career OPS.
Yeah, that's why he was let go.
Yes, but defensively, is he something that would make sense? He also had 14 home runs last year, had two home runs in the spring, wasn't doing anything special this spring, like struck out a lot.
Can you find some of his fielding metrics? Because quite frankly, I'd rather have him play in center field than Kreidler or Javi Baez.
His fielding percentage, his career fielding percentage in center field is .988.
Huh?
Seems pretty good. So you can take that for what it's worth. But I just wonder, is this something
kick the tires on?
Well, they should kick tires on everything, right?
Yes.
I mean, imagine that they're going through every team's roster and seeing, okay, mm-hmm. as teams are trimming their rosters, there will be players like Mickey Moniak that get released that might make sense for the Tigers because would it be a better option than what they have?
Right.
Which right now isn't much
exactly.
for center field because of what we started the first hour of the show talking about was the Tigers' woes in center field with the news yesterday breaking that Parker Meadows is going to be placed on a 60-day injured list because of that nerve that has yet to wake up in his arm. And in addition to that, Wenzel Perez is out for about a month with a back issue. He's going through the injection process now, which is going to keep him out for a little bit. That's not good. Akil Badu, who has been injured for a while now, isn't supposed to be ready to come back for maybe till the end of April. So all these options that they would have had, including Matt Vierling with his shoulder issue, another guy who may not be back until perhaps May. This creates a giant problem that the Tigers have in center field specifically. At least that's what the Tigers are intimating. They got a big problem here. You and I are kind of like minds here.
Yeah.
And that is, they have a center fielder, and they have an excellent center fielder. His name is Riley Green. The negative against that is that Riley Green has a propensity to get hurt, and it's been while he's been a center fielder because he's a guy who gives it all. And that's a lot of ground to patrol at Comerica Park in center field, and he's going to go sideline to sideline and try to get everything. And that's a problem. Can you get him to kind of bring that back a little bit so he doesn't have to work so hard and put himself in peril, which is why the Tigers want to leave him in left field. They don't want to overwork him. But he seems like for the first month of the season, at least me, and I think you were in agreement on this, I'd play Riley Green a lot in center field. Maybe not every day.
Right.
But why not 3 out of 4 games, Riley Green's your center fielder?
Or maybe you start out doing your plan, being the Tigers' plan of not putting him in, and then if the defense in center field becomes a obvious problem once they actually play the games, then you make the move.
So these are the problems the Tigers are facing right now, and they are out on the left coast. They got a game against the Giants today, and then they start the season on Thursday night against the Dodgers. So, and with Mickey Moniak playing for the Angels and just being released, hey, it's right there in Los Angeles. Would that make sense? or just waiting things out. I think it probably makes sense to wait things out over the next 24 hours here to see who else gets released from other teams,
right,
and kind of comb over that. But the idea of some kind of platoon or trying to figure it out amongst Ryan Kreidler, Zach McKinstry,
Javi Baez
getting some reps in center field and you know, looking at other outfield options, and Manuel Margot, who they just signed, who is no longer really a center fielder. I mean, these are the options they're left with. Jamai Jones, who got the spring training invite, is he somebody that could play center field? You know, Justin Henry Molloy is an outfielder, but doesn't really play it well at all. I don't think that's what they want to do. But right now, if they're looking at in-house solutions, they don't look good in-house.
There are none.
So I'm curious to see what happens in the next 24 hours, what Scott Harris does, how much digging he's going to do in other teams. I imagine he's going to be quite open to bringing in another player via the waiver wire and seeing who gets released. But this is just one guy who was released today, Mickey Moniak, who did play, I believe, 101 games last year in center field for the Angels. So there's that. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. More of your calls and texts. We continue here at 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, 97-1 The Ticket, 417, getting closer to Michigan and Michigan State. Let's not forget, we get Tiger baseball tonight. Tigers and Dodgers yesterday. We got to see Ohtani go deep. That was exciting. We got to see the Tigers score four runs. Ryan Kreidler made an unbelievable catch in center field after I spent about 4 hours bitching that he was the center fielder. Overall, Rico, I mean, listen, they went 0-15 with runners in scoring position. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Right. Derek Skubal was not great. He wasn't vintage, but to be fair, he gave up four runs in his first game last year. He still won the Cy Young. So I think he's going to be okay. That's a Dodger team that cost almost $1 billion. And you lost by a run. I'm not calling it a moral victory. Bro,
they pay more in luxury tax than you pay for your payroll.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, think about that.
Do you come away more impressed or depressed about the Tigers after watching one 9-inning baseball game? Actually, 8.5, because right, the Dodgers didn't have to bat in the bottom of the ninth.
Right. Well, I mean, I was looking at it as I came across, I guess, I'm going to credit John Jansen for this. I'm going to give him credit. He wouldn't give me credit, but I'm going to give him credit.
That's exciting. I think he'd give you credit. He's a good guy.
Not me. A little bit. I'm encouraged.
Sparty.
I'm encouraged because even though they were, trust me, they let you know that this team was an offer for runners in scoring position. I mean, they put the stat up each and every time. They are now 0 for 10, 0 for 11. Finished the game 0 for 15. The fact that you still went out there on the Dodgers' big day, and granted, I realize it's one game, okay? You still got 161 of these to go. But on the Dodgers' big day, you went out, you played, you were able to get 15 runners in scoring position, which means you were getting guys on base. You just didn't get them home. Now, the bottom of the order, it's horrible. If that's how it's going to be all year long, where I'm encouraged right now, I'm probably going to be angry and just ready to do this.
Right. Baez, your catcher, Dingler or Rogers, and Kreidler.
Right.
That was yesterday. And combined, I mean, Kreidler got a hit, so that was exciting. And Rogers got a hit. Baez didn't.
But I like Torque. I mean, we talked
four
about
four walks
it
and a home run.
Torque looks like, because we were asking, like, who's going to take this and take it into the regular season. I like what I saw in that first game. It's a moral victory, and I hate moral victories, but I'm going to be the first to say yesterday was kind of a moral victory. I was expecting them to kind of get blown out. I know Skubal was on the mound, didn't play his best game, but I thought that the offense was going to be horrific defensively. Okay, wow. Okay, you know, we go out, they're making plays. I walked away more encouraged than discouraged.
So you're more encouraged than discouraged. After one game, how do you feel? More encouraged or discouraged? More impressed or depressed? 248-539-9797. a couple things that stick out. Number one, the Dodgers threw 173 pitches. The Tigers threw 122. Like that.
Yeah.
Pitching staff should be studly. I mean, listen, Skubal didn't look great yesterday, gave up the three-run jack to Teoscar Hernandez, had the intentional walk before, wasn't great. What I did love, though, is Brebbia. You got him from a different team. He was great in relief. Hanafy gave up the jack to Shohei, but he was great last year. And Bo Brisky came in a high-leverage situation in a one-run game, and he put up zeros and had a strikeout. So I liked their bullpen. Like, the stuff we thought was going to be good, at least through one game, was good. The stuff I didn't like. Freaking Javi Baez. Javi Baez was your starting shortstop yesterday. He goes 0-for-2. He looked lost at the plate yet again. This is going to drive me crazy. The Baez thing is going to drive me nuts. Even though Kreidler made the great catch yesterday, a 10% chance to make that catch in center field, he's going to drive me nuts, too, because he can't hit despite getting a hit yesterday.
Yeah, it was almost a middle finger like, oh, okay. Yeah, you said I can't play center field? Watch this.
Oh, and by the way, all the people on social media, I don't know if you noticed this, but so many people are like, everybody that wondered why Ryan Kreidler made the team, he just showed you. And then they always do the same thing. Hashtag go Tigers or defend the den or roar with us. Well, what is the Tiger thing that everybody puts up there? Come on. It's go Tigers, or you know how on Twitter you can put up,
and
it gives you the Tigers emblem. What is it, like gritty Tigers? I don't know.
Grit.
So there were some things to light. Like Gleyber Torres does not look like a good second baseman. Kept slipping out there. Didn't make a couple plays I thought he should have made. With that being said, got a couple hits. It was good to see. I thought Manuel Margot, couple hits. He's on pace for what, 300 plus hits. That was good to see as well. Overall, I came away more impressed than depressed, more encouraged than discouraged, simply because you're right. Yeah. When you go against the Dodgers.
And you went up against Blake Snell, so it's not like you were going, like, this was opening day. You went out there, you represent, you didn't win the game, but it didn't go as bad as I thought. Now, I don't know if this, I don't even know what we're going to call this chaos this year. It's batting order, fielding chaos. I don't know what we're going to call the chaos.
How about let's get healthy really soon so we don't have to do this that long?
But I can see where, man, we're going to be hanging on every pitch, on every at-bat, on every, you know, fielding error. It's like, oh, my goodness. I'm encouraged. But if it's going to be like this the entire season, it's going to quickly turn to this.
Oh, there it is. The Chase Young chair drop. Another thing I like, they walked. They had 6 walks yesterday. You like that. Yet again, and they did this last year, they take that extra base on the base pass. They're very aggressive in that way. So I like that as well. I think there's more to like than dislike. I really do. And I know it's against the Dodgers. So everything you say, you're like, well, it is the best team in baseball, defending world champions. So, listen, the Tigers aren't like little sisters of the poor, but
they
conducted themselves well, I thought, despite going 0-for-15 with runners in scoring position, which will not happen right every game.
But then I thought about, I don't know who it was that sent you that text, but, you know, would you just sacrifice maybe a couple of losses now, but just put Carpenter out there
against lefties
and let him bat and let's really see what he could do? And Rieger at the end, I'm sitting there like, yeah, I would. I would, because you play in a division where you could probably get away with this experimenting. Even if you lose a couple games, you're not going to be totally out of it because the rest of the division, one of the teams in the division doesn't care. So you really only got to worry about 2 teams. And yeah, I would do that because I think he needs to be at the plate more. I think that he could be a crucial piece to this team. And if it doesn't work out, fine. But let's at least see what happens.
I don't
like this. I need him to come up and be, you know, the savior superhero late in the innings. Let's just put him out there.
So in the 8th inning, Kerry Carpenter, who was already inserted in the game because AJ took his chance earlier, Carpenter against the righty, he was going against the lefty. And McKinstry was on 3rd base. And it was a 2-run game, and Carpenter almost sent one out. Now, he barely missed, but it was a big-time RBI in a big-time situation against a lefty.
Right.
So let's just put him out there for at-bats. He's one of your better hitters. And I don't want to see, you know what, lefty's on the mound, he's not going to play until later in the game. I don't want to see it. I agree with you.
Because, I mean, you've already just conceded he's not going to get better. If you want him to get better against lefties, let him face major league left-handed pitching.
You know,
and you know what? If you're willing to play Javi Baez and you know it's a failed experiment, you can't sell me, well, I can't play Carpenter. You're playing Javi Baez. Yes, you can play Carpenter, okay? Because I'd rather see Carpenter and put Baez in and let him try to be the hero late in the game.
You've been doing a lot of radio, Rico. You ever start talking about something and the greatest sports radio topic just pops in your mind when you're talking about it?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about, and you're talking about, Carpenter, and you just wish you put him in the lineup against the lefty. Give him 4 at-bats. Give him 5 at-bats. He's your best offensive weapon, at least one of them, right? Then it popped in my mind. Like, we got a lot of gripes in Detroit. Like, Kerry Carpenter not playing against lefties. Big-time sports gripe. Yesterday, Kenny's boy, Alex Lyon, getting the start again instead of Sebastian Cosa. Cosa, meanwhile, gets sent back down to the minors because Cam Talbot's healthy.
Bro, Cosa got out the car, stretched his legs, and they said, and now you can go back.
Yeah. Hey, did you enjoy the buffet?
Can I at least now go to the bathroom? Back. No. You can just go ahead back.
Yeah, was it Grandpa from The Simpsons just walking in, taking his hat off, putting it back on, walking back up?
It's like the old Cosby show when Bill had to go out to the grocery store, like time after time after time for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And Claire kept sending him back. No, you need to go get whipped cream now. No, you need to go get pumpkin pie now. That was Sebastian Cosa. No, in addition to the Tigers, are you more discouraged or encouraged? I need to ask. I'm curious what people would say. What is your most current Detroit sports gripe? Whether it's Carpenter not playing against lefties, whether it's Cosa not even getting a chance in a playoff push, whether it's Brad Holmes just bringing back his own guy after guy after guy after guy. Is there one thing more than anything else that Detroit bitches about the most? I'll give you a second to marinate on it.
Okay.
97 won the ticket. All righty. 97 won the ticket. The Valenti and Rico show. Mike Beck next week. Talking about the Tigers, of the three dudes that had really impressive springs, Mize, Torque, and Jobe, which one is the most likely to continue that into the regular season? And where are you on this baseball team? Do you choose to believe the positives or do you choose to believe the negatives? And there's a whole lot of both. You want to take a couple calls, get some ticket text, and then we got to dive into the lineup. I know Jeremy just read it, but I stepped out.
Right. I'm like, where are you going? You've been anticipating hearing this lineup for hours.
Well, Mark Ryan was in here. I needed to tell him something that he had a question on. So I decided to do that. Then I realized I missed the freaking lineup. Oh, right, here's the lineup, okay? Do you want to do this very quickly before the phones?
Rieger, we've already done.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah.
Fine. Cameron in Sterling Heights, you're on the ticket. What's up, Cameron? How are you, bud?
Cameron. Wow, I was not expecting that drop.
What's up? What's up, Cameron?
I'll answer your most recent question first, and I think Torque is going to be the one who succeeds the most in the year. I feel like he's got that swagger back, to quote the De La Salle football team from a couple of years ago. And to answer your earlier question, I know it sounds pessimistic, but ultimately it's realistic. I unfortunately have to focus on the negatives here. You know, you can't expect lightning to strike twice in terms of the chaos, if you will. And with the injuries and everything, and the fact that I'm a little pessimistic on the Parker Meadows timeline to come back, I just don't really see a path to even 500 this year.
Cameron, I don't disagree with you. I don't. Like, if I'm choosing to believe the negativity or the positivity, I'm probably going negativity. And I'm just perusing this lineup, Rico. I'm just perusing this lineup, and it makes me angry. The whole freaking thing makes me angry. Like, you got Margot in right field against the lefty Snell. Why? Because they'll never let Kerry Carpenter play against the freaking lefty. And I know what they'll say. Don't worry. Carpenter will be inserted later in the game. That's what they'll tell you. That annoys the crap out of me. Ryan Kreidler. He's your starting center fielder. Ryan Kreidler, who has played three innings in his major league career at center, 20 games his entire career at center, he's your starting center fielder. That dude's your starting center fielder. That's even before you get to whatever. Abanez is at third. He's a lefty killer, so I got no issue with that. But he's leading off. And then Torque is DHing. And oh, good old Javi. Javi's at shortstop. Yay! All right. And we all thought he was done. Like, just looking at the lineup, it makes me angry. It does. And it's too early to be angry. I'm sorry. What is that from, by the way? Sounds like a ghost.
The ape from Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Ghost. Whatever. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Phil on a cell. You're on the ticket. Hey, Phil. How are you, bud?
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
I'm not great. Sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that I have to believe the negativity. I cannot take this Tigers team seriously when they're trotting out Javier Baez, Spencer Torkelson, and Ryan Kreidler.
That's right.
Who can't even hit his weight hardly. Are you kidding me? This is the major leagues, and that's who we have as our starting center fielder
on most days. Yes. No, Phil, nobody else can play center. Margot can't play center. He's too old for that. Riley Green, they won't let play center. So you're stuck with Ryan Kreidler. And by the way, if he plays a pristine center field, because it's one of those positions, you're okay with the fact that he can't hit. But it's the double negative. He can't hit, and he's never played center field before. Ever.
I about fell over when I read the story in the Free Press last night that's from Evan Petzl that says that's where a center fielder is. And I understand the injuries, but come on, seriously?
Phil, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's. I don't want to say it's embarrassing because it's too early to call it embarrassing. You have to see it not work to say something like that. But come on, this is discouraging. And I know they said last night it was going to happen, but this is their solution. They did nothing in the offseason. So, Rieger,
let me ask you this question.
What? Ask me.
Is there anything or anything that the Tigers can do? Or is there any person that could change your outlook?
Yeah, they just got to win.
And make you start seeing things positive?
Prove me wrong. Yes, prove
is
me
there
wrong.
One person?
Yeah.
Because like I said, that's like, I look at, to me, it's Torque.
Okay,
like,
I agree with you.
He's batting fourth. They're going to ride the hot hand. Let's see what he can do. And maybe. But I understand why people feel this way because it almost feels like the team was ill-prepared for the start of the season. Like, yes, the start of the season snuck up on them. Like, wait.
We don't have two more months? What the hell are you talking about?
What do you mean it starts tomorrow?
I just bought a house in Lakeland.
Oh, my God. Hey, can we get... Hey, Scoobs, can you do this video for us real quick?
248-539-9797. Listen, if you want to comment on Rico's question of the three spring training succeeders, you know, whether it be Torque or Mize or, of course, Job, which one do you believe in the most? Feel free. But when I see this lineup, it's almost like, what are you most angry about? It really drives me crazy that Ryan Kreidler is your starting center fielder.
You know what's funny is, and I'm not saying trying to compare them to the Dodgers, but I just pulled up the Dodgers starting lineup.
Don't do that.
And it just made me all kinds of sad.
Oh, I just did this too.
Their lineup. Ohtani, Betts, Teoscar, Freeman, and Tommy Edman are their top five hitters. Tommy Edman is five. Tommy Edman last year, I think, was leading off for St. Louis. Leading off. He's their number five hitter. And to answer Rico's question, I got Jackson Job as my guy because I think we haven't seen the other two are believe it when I see it. But I pulled up this lineup just to make myself, I guess, miserable. I think you do similar things, Jeff.
Oh my goodness!
And Max Muncy batting seventh. That's where Javi bats for us, by the way.
At least he's a legitimate third baseman.
Yes.
Oh my God, Baez, he had a 5.02 OPS. Like, what makes you more angry? Okay, both of you guys. What makes you more angry? That Javi Baez, a year after we were certain he was gone, okay? Javi Baez got put on the 60-day IL after that game against the Cubs. They then proceeded to go 24-10 without him and make the playoffs in a remarkable fashion. And then you bring Baez back, and not only do you bring him back, you're like, hey, you're starting shortstop. You might play a little center field. You might play third base. So you got Baez today, you're starting shortstop. You have Ryan Kreidler, your starting center fielder, and it drives me crazy that Gleyber Torres won't play third base. He's an awful second baseman. Like, of those three, which one makes you the angriest? Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
How about just across the board?
I don't want to be like this. I want to be happy. It's opening day. We should be positive. We should be like, we're all behind our baseball team. Go get them, Tigers. World Series. I want to do that. Like, is this lineup not infuriating? I knew we knew it was
coming. Oh, Rieger, it is, but you knew it was coming. You knew that there wasn't anything that was going to change in the last 24 hours. We knew what was going to, this is going to be.
Whatever.
And guess what? There's going to be a time where all of a sudden you're going to see Javi out in center field. It's going to happen.
Okay, here's all I want. Here's all I want, because sometimes I have a tendency to overreact. I know. All I want, and I know we got something coming up with college basketball related next segment, but all I want is like seven calls. Do you have a right to be angry about this? Do you have a right to be infuriated or angry? Or am I overreacting and being a drama queen and just being a diva and being whiny little bitch? I mean, you could say that too. But this is a lot.
It is.
Especially after you made the playoffs. 97 won the ticket.
Did the reality just kick in right now for you?
I guess. Okay. I mean, just seeing it written out.
Okay.
Seeing it written like, just, yeah. I mean, somebody just says, Rieger spitting anger and outrage left and right over the Tigers lineup. The perfect fill-in for Mike today.
I'm shocked that you're shocked.
I know. You knew. I was hoping they made a trade overnight. And I just like, oh, Jose Iglesias is a third base. What, Rieger, okay, I'll Rieger. Take him. And you get his new single, too? What? 97 won the ticket.